Forecast for today calling for sunshine, warmer conditions, the high near 90 degrees. The SC Johnson IMET Technology Center in Sturtevant, expected to become a hub for Foxconn training, it's in line now for a multi-million dollar expansion and renovation. The center is near where Foxconn is expected to build that huge manufacturing complex and employ up to 13,000 people. Many of them are expected to be trained by Gateway, according to Deb Davidson, the school's vice president of workforce and economic development.
We would be training in robotics and mechanical, electrical, data communication, so a lot of the things that we offer right now. We would also be training in pneumatics, hydraulics, programmable logic controls, which is what makes all of the equipment kind of talk to each other, and then data communication.
The training to be specific to Foxconn and how it would be conducted, how many students would be involved, that's all still under discussion.
We obviously have to look at capacity of instruction. Who do we have available to teach those classes? We'll be looking at alternative delivery models. So it may not be a semester long as we think of it right now. Depends on what the training needs are and the individuals coming in. What is their background? Do they have a background in manufacturing? And we need to ramp them up to that next level.
The Gateway Board of Trustees approving a $6.2 million expansion and remodeling project, the state to pick up most of the tab. Reformulated gasoline use has been a federal mandate in southeast Wisconsin since 1995. A more expensive, often unpopular fuel created to combat air pollution. Now some GOP lawmakers in Madison want to end the requirement by asking the Trump administration to get rid of it. The gas is also used in 16 other states and the District of Columbia. The Board of Trustees for the Racine Public Library spent just a couple of minutes during their meeting Thursday afternoon on the recent bedbug problem that shut down both the lakefront building and the bookmobile for a day, that problem showing up on separate dates and in different parts of the building. Librarian Jessica McPhail admitted they were all kind of freaked out by the situation, but they did feel better after the specialty dogs came in and they each found the same thing in separate searches.
The dogs did a tremendous job. There was one upstairs, one downstairs, and then they switched and they did not communicate what one might have found. So it was a true fail-safe.
She noted they continue a due diligence policy of checking for bed bugs that's been around now for almost 7 years.
We'll continue doing our routine, which was that our maintenance guy looks in the seams of every chair. He looks where he's been told and learned where bed bugs hide out. And we have a pest control service that routinely screens for bed bugs. And we're ready to call the dogs back anytime.
The Racine Public Library began their monthly screenings for bed bugs back in 2011, based on an industry publication about the potential damage to materials. Bond set at $50,000 for 39-year-old Pauline Sanders, the mother of the 15-year-old boy found dead in the pond near his town of Dover home. She was in court on charges unrelated to the case, abuse of a hazardous substance, and bail jumping. She had allegedly been huffing or inhaling vapors from aerosol cans to get high in violation of her bond on a previous child abuse charge. She'll be back in court next week. September, National Infant Mortality Awareness Month. WRJN's Janet Hoff says a couple of events are going to be taking place in Kenosha County.
Most babies are born healthy, but in Wisconsin, 384 died before their first birthday in 2015. And in Kenosha County, black infants are nearly three times more likely than white infants to die in the first year of life. Next Tuesday, the Kenosha Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families Collaborative, working to reduce the disparities and to educate and engage the community in efforts to improve birth outcomes, will hold its fourth annual Healthy Babies, Happy Babies Resource Fair and Diaper Distribution Day, with this year's emphasis on infant safety and immunizations. The deadline to register for the fair is today by calling 262-605-6742. The annual community diaper drive will continue through the end of the month. Donations dropped off at the Kenosha County Job Center, Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, or Greater Mount Hebron Church. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
And the city of Racine's historic Mannery Park area going to be highlighted with several stops on the 42nd annual Preservation Racine Tour of Historic Homes, 11:30 in the morning till 5:30 in the afternoon this Sunday. Five of the total nine sites within two blocks of each other, including the George Murray site, Fire Station Number 4, and Mound Cemetery. www.preservationracine.org has tour details. You will need a ticket. We're seeing firefighters dispatched before 6:30 this morning to the 1600 block of Yount Street on the report of a building on fire. A police officer got there first, told dispatch, it was burning an old Teamsters Local 43 building at 1624 Yount. Once the fire crews arrived, it took just a few minutes to knock down the flames. The circumstances of how the fire began now involve both a fire investigator and a police department investigator. No word yet on how much damage. We're seeing police still searching for the person who stabbed a dog to death. The boxer mix attacked yesterday outside of a home on Riverside Drive after escaping from a chain that had kept it in the yard there. It was taken to a veterinary facility, but euthanized at the request of the owner due to the severity of the injuries. A bartender license application got recommended for denial to a Burlington man. It was based on statute. His three misdemeanor convictions for cocaine possession, obstructing, and violating probation factored into it. John Roosh, though, essentially threw himself on the mercy of the Common Council. And with the backing by a couple of administrators, he got that approval. Police Chief Mark Anderson indicated that per state statute, Roosh is an habitual offender, though it's kind of a gray area, he said, for just how long a time frame you consider that.
So unfortunately for the police department to call him a habitual law offender, we do not have the privilege of using a timeline set forth by ordinance or state statute. And as I look over his application, look over his denial, I will admit that maybe holding him accountable for things he did 12 and 15 years ago to get an alcoholic beverage license might be outside what we want to do as a city.
Burlington's city attorney, John Belogic, felt it was really more of a policy matter than something legal.
And I, quite frankly, as a city attorney, would be willing to defend this in no matter which direction the Common Council goes. And if you believe that maybe he should be given the opportunity to be an operator and serve alcoholic beverages, I'm not going to be objecting to that.
Roosh explained he has straightened out his license back in 05 after having made what he admitted were silly mistakes. Now he's coaching youth sports and volunteering with United Way. The local group Fight to End Exploitation, along with the Rood Family Foundation and Carthage College, bringing child abduction victim Elizabeth Smart to Kenosha tonight for a 7 o'clock event that'll be open to the public in the Siebert Chapel. Smart was abducted June the 5th, 2002, her captors controlling her with threats that included her family if she tried to escape. She did eventually get rescued 9 months later. Today, she's an advocate for change related to child abduction and recovery programs and national legislation. She'll be talking in support of the I-94 project to fight human trafficking in southeast Wisconsin and be part of a question and answer session with local officials about human trafficking and child abduction. This week, the Racine Common Council unanimously supported a Finance and Personnel Committee recommendation to deny a claim by Charles House Jr. for $250,000 and what he alleges were violations of his Fourth Amendment rights during an arrest by police. Assistant City Attorney Marissa Casriel explaining to the committee that the timing on the claim just a little bit late based on statute.
Wisconsin Statute Section 893.80 sub 1D sub A. Mr. House alleges that the incident occurred on April 11th, 2017, but he failed to file a claim until August 11th, 2017, which was in excess of the 120 days after the alleged date of the event.
Council denial of the claim, though, like any other, a first procedural step in the legal process. It does allow the claimants to then file a lawsuit. And Gateway Technical College's iMet Technology Center in Sturtevant temporarily hosting several dozen Foxconn employees about a half a mile from where the Taiwanese company is expected to build that huge display screen manufacturing plant. Over 40 employees, in fact, have moved into the available space in the facility. According to Deb Davidson, Gateway's Vice President of Workforce and Economic Development.
Looking at the logistics and what will it take for them to start building here and to start actually bringing employees in, their HR function is not something that, you know, the people that are at iMet right now are not the HR people. They're looking more at how do we create some of those relationships and communicate boots on the ground here how they're going to actually build out this facility.
Most of the employees are project managers and their support staff. Case High School student Akinya Krishnan has been named a semifinalist in the 63rd Annual National Merit Scholarship Program. He scored among the nation's best on the preliminary SAT, the PSAT as it's known, which was taken during his junior year. Now he has a chance to continue in the competition for roughly 7,500 National Merit Scholarships worth more than $32 million to be offered next spring. The Association of Zoos and Aquariums announcing that the Racine Zoo has been granted accreditation by the Association's Independent Accreditation Commission. Zoo has been an accredited member of AZA since back in 1986. The AZA inspection team noted that the job the zoo staff has done in keeping the front of the house and the off-exhibit area in top shape, singling out the zoo's facilities manager, Dave Williams, for his efforts. Also noted the renewed energy and forward direction the zoo has taken since the addition of Executive Director Beth Hydorn. New state-of-the-art skylights in the Vanishing Kingdom, energy-efficient outdoor lights, the covered picnic pavilion, along with the wayfinding signage, also noted in that report. You might remember several weeks ago, a number of Caledonia residents living near the former Western Publishing Company building over on Erie Street told the village board something has got to be done about the trespassing and the vandalism, as well as a general feeling of just not feeling safe as they're walking by the place. Village Administrator Tom Christensen told the trustees at this week's meeting there has been discussion with the owner and progress is being made. They even toured the site yesterday.
We'll have a better idea of the status of the building and what direction, if any, the village can move forward to address the problem.
Securing the building to stop the trespassing was a priority based on those citizens' complaints. A hearing to determine if a 15-year-old Kenosha boy ought to be tried as a juvenile for causing the death of a classmate at Bradford High School postponed until October 30th. Timothy Carson, charged in connection with the death of 15-year-old DeJean Taylor, stabbed during a study hall at Bradford last April. The boy died a few days later. Carson charged under state law as an adult, his attorney requesting what's known as a reverse waiver to have his case handled in juvenile court. A report from a child psychiatrist yet to be reviewed. That's why the case was delayed. The public invited to join Pleasant Prairie Fire and Rescue personnel for the second annual Safety Day coming up tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Fire Station No. 1 on Springbrook Road. Featured is going to be the department's new 100-foot aerial platform fire truck and the Flight for Life helicopter, along with the Wisconsin State Patrol, emphasizing the importance of wearing seatbelts. There will also be fire station tours, a rescue demonstration, the Fire Safety House exhibit, plus other presentations from fire rescue and local law enforcement. Well, coming up tomorrow at the Oak Creek Public Library, it's Caledonia nurse and now author Kate Dickinson with a formal launch party for her new book called Superhero Kid in Training. It's a story about a six-year-old who's afraid to give up his tricycle for a big boy bike. It's available at Barnes & Noble in Racine, as well as other places, including online through Amazon. At tomorrow's event, she'll be signing copies of the book, and a raffle will be held for a bike and a helmet, the proceeds, to a nonprofit called One Hope 27. That helps connect foster children to families. It gave the Dickinsons a welcome addition to their family. And the City of Kenosha's curbside yard waste collection program is going to begin Monday, October the 2nd, and it will continue through Saturday, November 25th. Kenosha residents required to place their yard waste in city-approved biodegradable bags for curbside collection. The waste has to be in the bags or it won't be picked up, and the bags have to be at the curb line on the normally scheduled solid waste collection date, but separate from other materials. The start to the collection program, again officially October the 2nd. Also correcting the wrong startup date that was published on the city's garbage yard waste recycling calendar. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.